We are so glad to have you here. We welcome you to Liberty Live tonight. We are excited to be here, and tonight we are streaming live from our new camera system, so it may be a little trial run, if you will. I may run back and forth across the stage from the guitars to my left to the piano on my right just to see if Elise can keep up with the movement. But the Lord has blessed us greatly. We're so excited to have this thing up and running. And most of all, we're excited that you're joining us tonight. So we know that it's Wednesday. I know hump day, halfway through the week and all of that. For some of you, it may feel like a Friday. And tonight, for just a little while, we're going to gather here and just worship through the Word of God. Hopefully bring you something that will help you and something that will encourage you as you're watching from home tonight. So settle down, steel yourself, call your family, friends, share this, post this on your social media account, and just join with us, if you will. So we want to pray before we do anything else. Of course, we do want to pray for our nation. We're praying for this whole COVID thing. This has been heavy on our heart, the place where we're at as a country, and then everything else has taken place. I don't know, it seems as if a lot of people have just lost their mind. The world's gone crazy, and there's total chaos right now, it seems, on many fronts. But we do know a God who's still very well in control. He's still on His throne. We can put our faith in Him and just know that He cares for those that are His. He knows not only your name, He knows the hairs on your head. He has them numbered, and He knows the number of stars that's in the heavens. So we want to just pray right now and go to the Lord in prayer, and let's lift our voices together. You pray for us as we pray for you. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, and Father, we thank you for your love and your compassion toward us. Thank you so much for the needed grace you give us, the needed mercy in our life. And Father, we realize today we're just a sinner that's been saved by your grace, thankful for the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord that has given us eternal life through his sacrifice for our sins. And so, Lord, forgive us of our sins today. We pray, God, you'll use us in your service. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for the doctors, the scientists of our nation as they are working on COVID-19. We pray for healing. We pray for protection, Lord, and particularly we pray for all of our frontline workers, all of those first responders, doctors, nurses, all of those that are with COVID patients. Surround them, keep them healthy, keep them strong. And Father, even if they're exposed, I pray a supernatural hedge of protection around them that, Father, that they will not be able to be touched as they minister through those chosen careers that you have led them into. So, Father, we pray for this service tonight. We pray for liberty, its family. We pray for those, Lord, that tonight are hurting, those that are lonely, those that are lost. Father, those that have need. We love you and we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So tonight I just want to remind you that again Sunday morning we will be having service in this lower parking lot at 9 a.m. So please come out and join us. We are looking very forward to what the Lord is going to do on this campus on Sunday morning. I do want to take this time to personally thank each of you that have come out to the church campus on Sunday mornings at 9. We're trying our very best to start at 9 a.m. promptly and also to leave out as close as we can to 10 so that we can beat the heat. But we are very grateful, very indebted to you for being faithful in your service to the Lord, both here and online on these Wednesday nights. So keep being faithful to the Lord. And again, I haven't mentioned it in a while, but I do want to remind you that in way of tithes, because I'm still getting some text and phone calls, folks wanting to know about their tithes. We are taking up offerings on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Some of you I know are not comfortable coming out in public yet because you have certain risk factors. You have a compromised immune system. Maybe you're seeing one of our seniors and you just don't feel safe yet in public, and I understand that and we get it. and you have asked about how you can give tithes, you can mail it into the church, or you can give your tithes online. You'll find information on our Facebook page and on our website concerning that. Are we still, are we good to go, Elise? Let's keep going? Okay. All right. So if you will tonight, take your Bibles and your iPhone, your cell phone, whatever you have, laptop, and turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to think on this thought. I'm going to let you turn there, but I want you to think on this thought. Seasons of need. Seasons of need. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to be looking at verses 15 and 16. Verses 15 and 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Seasons of need. And when you have turned there, when I don't hear any more pages turning, I hope you got that. I can't hear your pages turning. I'll read the text. Here's what the Bible says. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. The Bible says this, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." To find grace to help in time of need. So, being raised in the mountains of Western North Carolina, I was raised in one of the most beautiful areas of our county. All the mountains are beautiful, of course, but I was raised and grew up in and spent my days as a child stomping around just a 5-mile area, give or any direction of a place called Balsam Gap. That's where my family is from. And so there in the mountains, we very distinctly, we have seasons throughout the year. It's rather different than in Georgia because here in Georgia, we have 10 months of summer and then 2 months of winter. And even winter is not quite winter. But up home, I love all of the seasons, particularly the change of the season. There's that time in the spring when spring begins to arrive, and it's such a beautiful time. Still very cold in the mornings, and some days the highs are still very chilly, but you can tell spring is coming on because you can look up on the mountains and see all of the mountain hollers that form and head up against a ridge or a mountaintop. You can see the poplars as they begin to green up, and as that green begins to creep up the mountain as the season grows later. And then summertime comes, and it's a beautiful season in and of itself, and at the end of summer, then there will be those cool mornings again that will arrive. And then some of the trees will start turning, like dogwoods and sourwoods and things like that, and fall is in the air. In fact, there's always a day at the end of summer, as fall begins, as early fall begins, when there is a change in the smell in the air. The humidity drops, it gets a little cooler, and you know that fall is certainly there. And then toward the end of October, there's always that time as winter is approaching. I know December 21st, the first day of winter, I get that, but it starts much earlier up home, just as far as seasons go. So at the end of October, there's always that first little snowfall or maybe just a day of flurries, and it's letting you know that fall is rapidly moving and that winter is on its way. And then, of course, wintertime and the anticipation of a forecast snow. But those seasons, they are so joyful and such beauty in every season. I've learned to cherish and value each season that comes to the mountains. Well, as joyful and as wonderful and as gracious as those seasons are in the mountains of North Carolina, There are other seasons of our life that's not so joyful. And in fact, at the end of verse number 16, where the Bible speaks of our time of need, literally that time of need, it refers to a season, literally, according to the Greek text, a season of time in our life when there is need. So there are seasons of our life where there are great need in our life. And so maybe you're watching tonight you very well are within, living in a season where there is need in your life. Maybe tonight that's not you, you're not in that place, but you do remember days past in your life when indeed there were these seasons of need in your life. And you remember back those seasons very vividly, and then you also, it should spur in your memory how God was so gracious to you and delivered you and carried you and was your companion during those difficult seasons of life and living. And maybe you're here tonight and you're watching tonight and you don't have need right now. Well, this is one of those messages where you just take notes and write it down, because I assure you that there will be seasons of change in your life. And those seasons of change are not always good, because they're bringing you seasons of great need. And so that last little part of verse 16, the grace to help in our time of need. So he's speaking, the writer of Hebrews, Paul, I believe, but that's here or there, but he's speaking to some folks who are in a season of need in their life. And he wants to encourage them, give them some instruction about what to do or what we need to know during those seasons of need. Lisa, am I watching here or am I watching the camera in the back? I'm watching both. Okay, just making sure. I'm a little confused, so I'm good to go now. So let's look at this as we go through the scripture. Look in verse 15 again. I want to show you a few things. So let's begin in verse 15. Watch this. Now watch what verse 15 says. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now watch this just for a minute. I want you to be reminded that we have an high priest. He's already established that in the book of Hebrews. What does that mean to you and I? We have a high priest, just like in the Old Testament there was a high priest. Remember in the Old Testament when the children of Israel would set up the tabernacle or even in the temple, there was a high priest, and once a year he would go into the Holy of Holies. And inside the Holy of Holies there he would be the intercessor for God's people before God. Now, we know, and I'm not going back into the ritual of all that, but we know now that Jesus, he is our great high priest, and he shed his blood, so there's no longer the sacrifice of lambs, but he shed his blood because he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And when he died and his blood was shed, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, not bottom to top, not from man to God, but it was rent from top to bottom, indicating that God made a way for man to enter into his presence. And so now we don't need a high priest. Now we don't need a preacher. We don't need a pope. We don't need a potentate, whatever you could think of. We don't need anyone, but we as individual believers, we can enter into the throne room of God ourselves because Jesus made a way for us to do that. And so Paul's already established, or the writer of Hebrews has already established that we have a high priest. So he says this, but here's what he wants us to know about our high priest. He says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That phrase, that he cannot be touched with the feelings, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So literally what he's saying is he knows, he has, in other words, what this text says is he has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He has been touched in the same way that we feel. And so listen, if you are in a season of need in your life right now, and by the way, it is perfectly okay to be in a season of need in our lives. Because the reality is this, if there are not times when we need the Lord, the times when we need Him, If we're so strong and independent and headstrong that we can bear it on our own, then we are misguided and we are askew as to the true nature of who we are. We need the Lord every day, particularly in these seasons of need. What the text is saying is He has been touched with the same feelings that you are feeling right now as you are in your season of need. He has, literally, the Bible says, is teaching us this, that He has experienced what you're experiencing. He feels what you feel. And so if nobody else understands, Jesus understands your season of need. People will come to me sometimes, and they'll be in a season of need, and they'll share their need to me and with me. And I confess, I am not one of those pastors or friends. When somebody shares something with me, I'm not one of those to say, I know how you feel, if I truly don't know how they feel. The reality is this, if I've not been through what you're going through, then I don't know how you feel, and I'm not going to act as some wise counselor or some know-it-all and say, you know what, I know how you feel, it's going to be okay. No, what I'm going to tell you is I'm sorry you're going through that. I have no clue how you feel right now, but what I can do is I can pray for you. But that's the difference between myself and the Lord. See, the Bible's teaching us here, and the writer of Hebrews is teaching us that nobody else may know your time of need, your season of need, what you're going through right now. But the Bible assures us in this text that there is one who knows how you feel. There is one who by experience knows what you're going through, and His name is Jesus, who is our great high priest. And so that's comforting to know that somebody else has been there. I remember one time in my life when I went through a very difficult time and the Lord ordained it. He sent somebody to me, really an unlikely somebody, but He sent somebody to me who had been through the exact same thing I had been through, and that person drew alongside to me and become a friend to me, and I thought it was really, it was just a blessing from the Lord, and I realized that He was a gift sent from God at the time, that He knew how I felt, and so that's rare that we have that in this life, but the wonderful thing is we've got a high priest in heaven who in our season of need, He knows exactly how we feel. But not only that, the Bible says we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That word infirmity, literally, it means weak or weakness or to be frail. And so we have a high priest who understands how we feel in our weakness and in our frailty, if you will. You say, but Jesus was God. He was never weak or never frail. Well, the scripture differs with you on that because the Bible teaches us that He's 100% God and 100% man. Mary was His mother and God the Father was His father and is His father. But the Bible teaches us this, that He was so much man that as He was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil and fasted for 40 days, that after that He was hungry. So He knew what it was like to be hungry. The Bible says that they got in a ship, went out on the Sea of Galilee, that He got in the ship with His disciples and they went out on the Sea of Galilee, and that He was so tired from the press of public ministry that He laid down in the ship and He fell asleep. Not just a nap, because remember a great storm arose and He slept through half of the storm. And the disciples, as they were frantically trying to save their lives, he was still asleep and they had to go wake Him up. So He's very much man. He knows what it's like to be weak. He was led into the wilderness, Matthew 4, to be tempted of the devil, to go through trials and tests. We'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. But so He knows your feelings of weakness. He knows your feelings of being frail. He has experienced that. In fact, look on with me, if you will, into the text. Look over in verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We have a high priest who knows how we feel because he has experienced it. He knows our weakness. He knows how weak we are. He knows how frail we are. But look at verse 15. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. All points. Now, I want you to know something about that little phrase, all points. Literally, it means this. If you study the original language, it literally means, it radically means all. He was tempted. He was, we'll talk more about that word, but as far as our feelings go, our weakness goes, our weak seasons, our needy seasons, he was tempted in them all means radically all. Any and every variety of weakness and any and every variety of frailty, he has experienced it. He's been there. He knows how you and I feel. He was in all points, Bible says, tempted. Now, that word tempt there, automatically what comes to our mind is to be tempted with sin. But literally in this text, what it means is to put through a test or a trial, to be put in a test or a trial. So these times of need come into our life, these seasons of need. And we've got a Savior, a high priest in heaven, who is in the presence of God, who he sees us in our need. He knows how we feel because he's experienced it himself. Any and all times of need, according to the Bible, any and all seasons of need that we experience or that we are going through, he too has been there. Any and every variety you could mention, he has been through that season himself. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, don't start saying and don't start thinking, well, what about this situation? Did our Lord experience this kind of need in his life? Did he experience that kind of need in his life? Our mind can't even go there. But all I know is the scripture literally says that he was in all points tempted, tested, or put in a trial just as we are. In all points, every, any, and all varieties. And it's a radical all. All means all right there. A-double-L, all. And so we can't even fathom the things that our Lord experienced. In fact, probably he experienced things we can never even think of. But I do know this, the Bible is very clear here that before you and I have ever experienced it, he's experienced it. He understands that need and your feelings during that season of need in your life. And so that word tempted literally means to be put in a test or a trial, and it means also it means to assay. And what that is say, for example, the word is used in classical Greek to assay a certain metal or a certain silver. And what that means is that you're going to test it to see what the character of that metal is, what the contents of that metal is, what's in that metal, and then ultimately to determine the quality of that metal. And so there's these seasons of need in their life, and according to this text, they are certainly and evidently, they are times of trial for us, they are times of testing for us. Maybe the enemy did initiate it, but God takes it and he uses it as a time to assay us, to determine what we're really made of and the quality of who we are. So this is in this text, and we think about seasons of need in our life. We've got to remember we have a Savior. He's been right there where you're at. He knows how you feel in your trial. Some of you right now, you're going through seasons of need in your life, and you feel like that nobody else could possibly understand where you're at. You feel like you can't even share it with the neighbors because you believe that this time of need that's in your life is so overwhelming and so difficult that your neighbor wouldn't understand, your friend wouldn't understand. But listen to me. Jesus, He knows exactly by experience how you feel. And so let's look at the text again. Go back to the Word of God. Verse 16. So the Bible gives us this invitation then. Okay, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, says, so he's established this point that we have a high priest in heaven. He's in the throne room of God. We don't have to leave earth and go to the throne of God, go to the throne room of God, because we have access because of Jesus, because we know someone up there, and because he knows us. And so he is our high priest there inside the throne room. So we go into the throne room to Jesus, and he takes our petitions to the Lord. But he knows how we feel, because he, by experience, he lived life on this earth. And by the way, that is one of the reasons for the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The fact that he was, that God the Son, who had always had been from before the beginning of time, from looking into eternity past, there was always the Trinity. That's one of the reasons for the incarnation, was that so he could be robed in flesh and blood, just like you and I. And so he would understand the sufferings of life living on this earth. And he would understand the trials of life living on this earth. So when he would die for our sins, arise on that third day, ascend into heaven and become our high priest, where now he is currently conducting his priestly ministry for you and I, then when we have needs in our lives, he would know exactly how we feel, because he's been there. So, verse 16. So the Bible says this: let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now watch this: that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we have an invitation. Let us. There's one of those let us passages in Hebrews. We preached on some of those many Wednesday nights ago. But let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. Notice it's not a throne of justice. It's not a throne of justice, a judgment. And for those who preach in such a way that they make God out to be mean, that they make God out to be evil, that they make God out to be a killjoy in heaven, those who preach Jesus and they make God out to be someone who is angry all the time, then you've not read this text, because the Bible says here that it's a throne of grace. Yes, I believe in a God of justice and judgment, but I also believe in a God who's given us a throne of grace where we can go to in our time of need. So the Bible says this: let us go boldly come into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. What's that word mercy mean? It means to have compassion. It means to have pity toward. So when I was in the military and I had an accident and I broke both bones in my right leg, for about a month and a half, I was in a full leg cast all the way up. And of course, wasn't supposed to drive and all that kind of stuff with a full leg cast on. But at that time, I had I had a 1988 Ford F-150. Had dual exhaust, straight pipes, had an exhaust cut out. The switch was right by my seat. I could pull that lever and the exhaust comes straight out of the manifold right under the seat of the truck. And so anyway, I'm reminiscing here. So I had figured out, and this truck was a 5-speed. So I had figured out with that full leg cast on, and so I know for many of our younger generation does not even know how to drive a straight drive vehicle. But so I'll need to explain this, that when you change gears, you push in the clutch, you let your foot off the gas, you change gears, and you put your foot back on the gas and keep going. Well, I had figured out, of course, I knew how to change gears without using the clutch. It's a matter of timing. When you let off the gas, I knew how to do that, but there were times when I still needed to let off the gas. And I had figured out in that full leg cast, as stiff as it was, I had figured out how to shift and rotate my hips, where I could shift that cast on that gas pedal, and when it's time to change gears, I could shift my hips back and pull that full leg cast off that gas pedal. I could change gears and shift my hips back and keep driving down the road. Well, I drove home one weekend when I still had that cast on, and that Sunday when I started back to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I was maybe, I don't know, a couple hours away from home, and my truck broke down on the interstate. I was on I-40. My transmission went out. Maybe it had something to do with me changing gears without using the clutch. I don't know. But anyway, my transmission went out on it. And so I broke down on the side of I-40, major interstate, on a Sunday afternoon, daylight. Well, I got out, I popped the hood, looking around trying to figure things out, and I could tell by the gears that it was the transmission. Didn't have a cell phone back then. This was pre-cell phone days. Some people had bag phones, but, you know, you had them and didn't use them. Well, I didn't have anything. And so on the side of I-40, I go to the back of my truck with my hood up. I pop my hood up to signal, you know, I've got a breakdown here. And I get my crutch. I hobble to the back of my truck. I'm standing there, and I'm waiting on somebody to stop and give me assistance. Somebody stop and help me. I mean, I don't look like a thug. I'm obviously a military guy. I'm crippled, quite crippled, and cars are just passing me by. And then I thought, this is ridiculous. So then I start to get mad, and I'm like, I'm not believing this. I'm broke down. My hood's up. Obviously, a guy that's in the military. I've got a full leg cast on, and I've got a crutch. Like, if I'm going to mug somebody, I'm going to pick a different route than to do it like this. I need help. And so I got upset, and I thought, well, I'm just going to stick my leg out. So I turned sideways where the traffic could see this whole leg cast. I just wanted everybody to see, thinking somebody would have pity on me and that somebody would have compassion on me. And nobody stopped. Luckily, there was a state trooper who had finally made his rounds about an hour later. So, ladies and gentlemen, the moral of this story is don't break down on the side of I-40 in North Carolina, because absolutely no one will stop for you. And your best bet is a trooper is going to be making his rounds. So he stops, picks me up, does all that, takes me to where I can make a phone call and so forth. But nobody, not one person, had compassion or pity on me. And I just needed help. Well, listen, the Bible says this, that we in our season of need, because Jesus knows how we feel. He's experienced it all. He has experienced it all. Every and any kind of need you have in your life, He has experienced it. I don't really get that. I just know what the Bible says, and I take it by faith. He's experienced it all. So we can go boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need, and we can receive mercy. He'll be pitiful, or He'll take pity on us. And He'll have compassion toward us because He cares for us and loves us. So listen, if nobody else understands your season of need, if nobody else could possibly know what you're going through, watch this. Jesus knows. And He's going to be compassionate towards you. And He's going to give you pity because He loves you so much and He cares for you. But now watch. The text is not finished. Go back to verse 16. So let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. That's that pity and that's that compassion that we all need, particularly in our seasons of need, and find grace. Now, the interesting thing about this word grace, it is, people have tried to define it, is all I can say. I don't think the wisest man in the world could define grace. It's been defined by that acronym, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's been defined as God giving us that which we don't deserve. But I think grace is so great we cannot describe it. We can't explain it. It's so great. But I will tell you this, that the emphasis right here where the Bible says that we can go to the throne room in our time of need and we'll receive pity and compassion. And He's going to give us grace. He's going to give us grace. The emphasis on grace there is the benefits that come with being His child, the benefits that come with being able to go into the throne room. So in your season of need, as you go to the throne of God, and I hope you're listening right now because God's got a word for you if you're in a season of need in your life, that you can go to the throne room of God and you're going to receive the benefits that come from being a child of God. You're going to receive the benefits of having a high priest in heaven. You're going to receive the benefits of going to Him in your season of need. All all the blessings and all the benefits that heaven has for you in your season of need, you're going to be a recipient of that. And I want to receive that myself, but particularly in those seasons of need. That's where your help comes from. Your help comes from the Lord. And so let's finish this text out, and I'll be closing, but watch. Verse 16, you'll find grace, the emphasis on the benefits of that grace, to help in time of need. So we have talked about that what need means there, that time of need. Literally, it's a season of need. But grace to help. Now watch this in that word help. And I close, so pay attention to me now. Pay attention because there's a big play on this word. So that word help, it is actually a nautical term. The writer of the book of Hebrews, and this is one of the other reasons why we believe it's Paul that wrote it, is because he's using some terms that Paul uses and he's familiar with. Paul oftentimes used soldiering words. He oftentimes used words of an athlete. He used words from the shipping world. And so this is a nautical term, that word help. And literally what it is referring to, now watch, I want you to really listen if you are in a season of need. What it refers to is frapping. Frapping. Now turn your volume up, get everything still and quiet in the background, because I did not say frappe. Some of you thought I said frappe and your eyes got real big and you're already putting your tennis shoes on to make a run to Starbucks. I didn't say frappe. It's frapping. Now, we don't use frapping, that term, anymore. It's still a word that is in the English language, but we just don't use it every day. It's been a few days. It's been a few days since I've used the word frapping. But it's a nautical term. And what frapping is, and we find this over in the book of Acts when Paul is on the ship on his way to Rome, and they enter into that Euroclodon, that great typhoon of a storm. We see that they do the same thing that I'm about to describe you. But frapping is this. It's when you're in a storm. It's when you're in rough waters. It's when you're in troubled waters. And you feel like the ship is going to be lost. Remember, ships and vessels in those days were wooden. And so the pounding of the waves and the trouble could literally just destroy that wooden ship. And so frapping is when they would take rope and chains and literally wrap it around the ship, all the way off on one side, all the way around under the ship, and all the way back on the other side, and pull it together and bind it together really tight so that nothing would be lost, so the ship would not be destroyed, so that it wouldn't fall into a million pieces. And it would all be held tight until those troubled waters had passed. That is frapping. Frapping is where you take rope or chain, go off the starboard side, come under the ship, come up the port side, bind that rope or chain together, tighten it all together so the ship doesn't fall into a million pieces. Frapping, a nautical word. So notice what Paul says, so that we could, in verse 16, so that we could find grace, the benefits of his grace, to help us in our season of need. Grace to do what? To help us. Frapping. Grace that will wrap around us, that will bind us together, that will hold us together. When we in our season of life believe, or when we in our season of need believe that our life is falling apart, that everything we thought was sure is now falling apart, when we in our season of need think we can't make it anymore, that we can't go through this time of trial or testing, we're going to lose it all, we're going to fall apart, the Bible says we'll obtain grace to literally frap us together. Grace to wrap around us, to pull us together, to hold us together until those troubled waters pass. And so The Bible says here in verses 15 and 16 this. We've got a high priest in heaven. He knows how we feel. He's been where we're at. He's experienced what we're experiencing, what we're going through. He is pitiful, or not pitiful, he has pity on us. He is compassionate toward us. And we, in that season of need, can march right into the throne room where he is. And there we'll receive pity, compassion. We'll receive the benefits of his grace for that time of need. And the benefits of the grace and mercy we receive will bind us together, hold us together until that season of need passes in our life. Imagine this, if you will. Imagine one day you get a letter from the White House. And what you have received is not just any letter, but what you have received is you have been given an invitation to come to the Oval Office. Not a press meeting there in that press room where they have those press conferences. Not on the White House lawn, but you've been given an invitation into the heart, basically, of the White House. You've been given an invitation to the president's desk, an invitation to the Oval Office. Imagine the excitement that would come over you. Imagine how the news would spread. Man, with social media the way it is today, I mean, you'd have that stuff posted on social media if the Secret Service would let you, and word would be all over town. In fact, I'm sure the local newspaper would come interview you and ask you about your upcoming trip, and they would do a whole big story on it. And I'm sure the headline news, they would come to your hometown, and you'd be on the headline news. And I'd be sitting back in my recliner watching, and they're going to go to a commercial, and they'll say, up next is going to be John Doe, who's received a invitation to the Oval Office. And I'm going to slam the legs down on my recliner, and I'm going to jump up, and I'm going to say, hey, I know John Doe. Holy smokes, turn the TV on, folks. John Doe's about to be on TV. He's going to the Oval Office. So I'm excited for you. You're excited. The whole county is excited. Everybody's excited because you, from Franklin County, Georgia, you are going to the Oval Office by personal invitation. Man, you would be making preparations. I'm talking about haircut. Pedicures, manicures, that whole, all that stuff. You'd be going through that. A new wardrobe, and I mean, you'd be getting ready. And then there's the trip up there, and then there's that day you actually get to go right into the Oval Office. Wow, what a red letter day. Because you have been invited to the president's office where he sits at his desk. Well, listen to me tonight. Hebrews 15 and chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. You have been given a greater invitation than the Oval Office, a far greater invitation. In fact, if you are in a season of need in your life, and those seasons come for all of us, if you're in a season of need in your life, you've been given a personal invitation. And not only that, but listen, not only that, but he's promised that he knows how you feel. He knows where you're at. He's been there by experience. And he says this, come on into my office. Come on into the throne room. And when I look on you, I'm going to look on you and I'm going to have pity and I'm going to have compassion and I'm going to care for you. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the benefits of grace. And what those benefits are going to do is they're going to wrap all around you and they're going to hold it together. They're going to hold you together. So you're not going to lose it like you think you're going to lose it. So you're not going to fall apart like you feel like you're going to fall apart. But the benefits of grace is going to wrap around you and keep you until this season of need passes in your life. And so if you are in that season of need, wherever you're at, maybe you're part of Liberty Family. I know there's needs right now in Liberty Family. If you are just visiting and watching and joining us on Facebook Live because you've been so faithful to do that through this time of COVID, you don't go to church here. You don't even live in this state. You live in another state somewhere. But faithfully, you've been watching and tuning in. If you are in a season of need in your life, then you need to take Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, and you need to let that be your guiding light today and in the days to come. because he's promised you grace to help in your time of need. So I want to pray for you. Our Father in heaven, I pray for those in their a season of need right now in their life. Father, they only you know where they're at. God, I don't know what they're feeling. I may or may not have experienced what they're experiencing right now in this season of need. But Lord, you do. Your word assures us of that. So Father, I'm asking you tonight that even as this text has been read, we've tried our best to just simply state what the word says. That even as this text has been stated and declared tonight, and they've seen it with their own eyes and understand it with their own heart, and I pray that your grace will begin to wrap around them, to hold them, to keep them together through these troubled days. And Lord, let them see that, let them see clearly that they've got a Savior that has pity on them and compassion on them, a Savior that loves them, and that you have invited them personally into your throne room where you are seated today and forevermore. And God, may that encourage your child and the saint of God who's watching, who's living in a season of need. Father, we love you and we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Oh, I thank you again for joining us tonight at Liberty Live. We are so, so excited that you have been here. Continue to do so. And listen, spread the word about Liberty and Liberty Live. Pass it on to some of your friends and some of your neighbors. I know COVID-19 has totally changed how we do church, and we're having to rethink church throughout these days and throughout these times. And one of the things we are going to continue to do and we are purposed to do is we want to try to reach a world for Jesus, because we believe that a world is hurting and the world is hopeless, and they need simply what we know. They need Jesus. And so help us spread the word, and you'll do that by telling others of Liberty and sharing with them how they can watch on Liberty Live. So we love each of you dearly. You have a good Wednesday evening. We'll see you right here Sunday morning at 9 a.m.